Well, my dear friends, it is wonderful that we are gathered in our Father's house again. And thank you so much for being flexible and willing to shift service times and stuff as we continue to respond to all the changing situations out there in the world. I love this. I love the idea of being in one service again, to be able to see everybody. And if you do start to feel like we're all packed in here too tight, I don't think we are at this point, but if you do feel like we are, I just remind you that we have the sides that are empty. So there's lots of social distancing up there if you care to use that as well. And if there's somebody else that you know of who is scared to come to church, just remind them of that as well. We got spaces where people can feel safe. With that, though, we are gathered in our Father's house. We're here with God Almighty. And that's an incredible thing, something that we get to do because of His great love for us and for His reaching out to us and for His dying on the cross and taking the sins of the world upon Himself, the sins of me, the sins of you upon Himself, and making it possible for us to be His children. And so as the children of God gathered around our Heavenly Father, let us begin our worship service, remembering that day that we were adopted into His family. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray, folks. Heavenly Father, we come before You today. We thank You for this opportunity to be in Your presence, Lord. And not just be in Your presence, Lord, to receive Your comfort and that knowledge, Lord, that You are here with us, but that You speak to us, Lord, through Your word, that we receive Your word, your expectations, Your unbelievable grace and forgiveness, Lord, through Your word. And that, Lord, we pray that You would send Your Spirit, that as You have promised to do, to work through that word, to build our faith and to help us to know You better and to trust in You better so that we may have peace in this crazy world. Thank You, Lord, for this great peace. In Your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends. Let us begin by confessing our sins. Please stand as we confess. My friends, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved You with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve Your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in Your will and walk in Your ways to the glory of Your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Folks, we are in our Father's presence. We've received the gift of forgiveness of sins through the work of Jesus. We know this and trust in this because of the work of the Holy Spirit in us, giving us faith. Let us give praise to the God who has done such amazing things for us.
say, oh, praise Him. Alleluia. Then you shall fall on bended knee. All creatures of our God and King. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia. Alleluia. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Morning. My name is Darwin Krause. It's been so long since we were all together, you may not have remembered me. But it's good for us all to be together again and praise and show glory to our Lord God. And so now we're going to read Psalm 126. There's no author to this psalm. We don't know who wrote it, but we do know that the children of Israel was coming back home again. They were held in captivity, and so they were coming home. And so they were joyful and thanksgiving to God, their Father, for bringing them back to their home again. I've got a little reading from the American Standard Version of the Bible explaining what it is. And it says, God's ability to restore life is beyond our understanding. Forests burn down and are able to grow back. Broken bones heal. Even grief is not a permanent condition. Our tears can be seeds that will grow up into a harvest of joy because God is able to bring good out of tragedy. Grief will end, and that you will again find joy. When burdened by sorrow, know that your times of grief will end and that you will again find joy. We must be patient as we wait. God's great harvest is of joy is coming. And now we'll read Psalms. With that in mind, we're going to read Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortune of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Darwin. It is now time for the children's message. And so, kids, you guys can come on up at this time. And Andy Bates has the message for us this morning.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here in God's house and get to hear His Word. In just a little bit, we're going to hear more from the Bible. We just heard from Psalm 126 in God's Word. In just a little bit, we're going to hear another reading from Mark chapter 10. And in this reading, we hear about a man named Bartimaeus. He was blind. Do you know what that means?
Yep, you can't see.
He couldn't see. Yeah, he couldn't see.
Just like when you go to bed, you can't see.
And so he asked Jesus to help him see. And what did Jesus do? What do you think? He helped him see. Jesus said, go, your faith has made you well. And the man could see, Bartimaeus could see right away. Isn't that amazing? When God says something, when Jesus says something, Jesus is God. When he says something, It happens. He says, go, your faith has made you well. And then he could see. Can you think of some other times when God said something and it happened? What are some other times?
Creation.
He said, let there be light, and there was light. And let there be water, and
there
was. And let there be mountains. He said, let there be, and there was. There was nothing, but then when God spoke, it existed. Or what about the time when the disciples were in the boat and it got really rough on the sea? The wind and the waves came up and they thought that they were going to drown. And Jesus said what? Peace be still. He said to the wind and the waves, he said, peace be still. And what happened?
It did.
The wind and the waves stopped.
That was a miracle.
When God speaks, it happens. What about when God speaks through our pastor? Like when we just said a little bit ago, we said, we are sorry for our sins. Lord, I am sorry for my sins. And what did God say through our pastor? He said, I forgive you all of your sins. When God speaks, it happens. When he said, I forgive you all your sins through our pastor, he really forgives our sins. Your sins are forgiven when God speaks that. And that's good news, isn't it? And what happens when God's people hear good news, when God does good things for them? Well, as we just read in Psalm 126, when God did great things for them, they were filled with joy. They were filled with joy, even singing songs. And that's what we just did. After God forgave our sins, we sang songs with joy in our hearts and thankful to God because he forgives our sins. God doesn't tell lies, only the truth. And when he says, all your sins are forgiven, they're forgiven. And that's good news. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for your word and for your truth that reminds us that our sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. You may go back to your seats.
It is time for little worship. So if all the kids whose parents are okay with that can meet at the cross in the center aisle, and you guys are going to receive teaching for you, and the rest of us are going to open God's word right here. All right. Sermon text for today is Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, David, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they said to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, Jesus said. Your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. You know, the two readings that we have today seem to be in a little bit of a contrast. And I don't know if you can see it yet, but hopefully I'll be able to draw it out for you. The first reading is Psalm 126, and in there, God is restoring the fortunes of Zion, his chosen people, that nation of people that he has gathered to himself, the people who he chose to be his own, and they were being disciplined over and over throughout their history. Their relationship with God, the people fell away from God. God disciplined them, sent some kind of difficulty, whether it would be an invading nation or whether it would be a storm or a pestilence or something. And then God would redeem them and recover. They would recover from that difficulty and they would rejoice and be very close to God right up until they weren't and started drifting away again. And then the whole cycle started over again. And that's what was happening in this text today. Jesus, or God, was disciplining his people, and the people were crying out to God saying, Lord, restore. Restore us. Bring us back into relationship with you. Fix what's wrong. Make us right. And pull us back together again. And then, you know, I mean, this is the kind of thing you expect God to be involved in, right? That all of the people of Israel were wandering away, and God kind of, you know, you get enough people gathered together, you get enough people, and you can kind of justify God giving his attention to all that those people and responding and acting in a way that would restore all those people. I mean, after all, God's busy. He's got a lot going on. I mean, I don't know if you know, but he creates everything and holds all things together. Now, all things, that's a big job. I mean, if you think about it. I mean, we think when we think all things, we think like, you know, our community, right? I mean, you know, that we have what we need, that, you know, when we go to the store, there's actually stuff on the shelves. Okay, that's been a little bit of a problem lately, but generally speaking, you know, we can get the things we need, maybe not just the brand we want, you know? But the thing is that God, we trust that God is holding all things together, but then it kind of goes even beyond the community, right? I mean, it's like our whole region, like the whole St. Louis region, and all of those people and all of things going on, and the city governments, and there's county governments, and the, I mean, all this stuff, and there's a lot of happening. I mean, read the news, right? I mean, we have people not getting along all over the place, right? And what's holding everything together? God holding it all together, right? Because if we leave it to human beings, we're going to mess it up. We're going to make a mess of things. And then there's the nation, right? I mean, we get to the nation and then things are much more sane, right? Yeah, not so much. I mean, it's a bunch of people, and we're continuing to mess things up, and we get the Republicans and the Democrats and the whatever. I mean, it's just the deep state and the whatever. I mean, it's just all these crazy groups of people, very passionate about whatever it is they believe in, if they even really fully understand or know or thought it all through. But there it is. It's all out there. And what's the only thing holding it all together? It ain't the people. Let me tell you what. It's just not them. We're fractious. We're difficult. We love to argue and fight and stand up for whatever is important to us this week. You know, and so then there's the world. And that's where things get really, really, really normal, right? I mean, you know, we don't have anything really crazy going on throughout the world. You know, persecutions and famines and fires and earthquakes and tsunamis. And I mean, name it, we got it, right? And who's holding it all together? And that's just this little dot in space. When you get past the world, and now you're talking about, you know, solar systems and galaxies and clusters of galaxies and things that are so far away, we can't even comprehend what's all out there, and the number of stars and the size of those stars. And I love it. You know, the small and the big in science is fascinating to me. You know, the whole idea of how small an atom is and how big a star is, and then think about how many atoms are in the star. Well, how many atoms are in all the stars? And who's holding it all together? He's busy. He's got a lot going on. All right? I mean, there's just so much happening in him. And his brain has got to be spread out so thin over so much matter, over so much space, and so much. And then he's got his will, that will of saving his people. And in the Old Testament, it was keeping his holy nation, that chosen people, faithful to him so that they would keep his word and know his truth, so that when the Messiah came, somebody would be here to recognize him. And did they? Mostly. But God held his plan together because of God, not because of the people. He held his plan together, and he made it work, and then he called some people to follow him. And those disciples, they were such rock solid, super intelligent, trustworthy, stalwart people, right? Okay, maybe not. So then now it's time for, now he dies on the cross and he ascends, he's getting ready to ascend into heaven, and everything is set up, right? And he's leaving these guys in charge. It's a little sketchy. I don't know about this. This is not a great plan. And what's God say? Jesus says, don't worry, I'll be with you. Is that comforting? Yeah, way comforting, because we know that if you leave it to human beings, we're going to mess this up. And so God is focused on all of these things. And now he's focused on the history of the church and all the things that happened throughout the last 2,000 years that brings us to today. And has God held it together? Was it because of people? It was because he works and he is mighty and amazing and able to hold things together so that the gospel, that pure, beautiful gospel of God, that message of salvation, the news of Christ's work got to us. And we, because of what Jesus does, or the Holy Spirit does, are able to have faith and trust in him and be saved. And it is a miracle that we got to here. Absolutely a miracle. And you know, God has so much going on. And you know, Jesus had a lot going on in today's text too. I mean, this is Jesus, and I don't know if you guys ever read ahead on these texts, but just to give you some context here, the reading immediately after this one is Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which is the beginning of his passion. You think he had some things on his mind? I mean, you saw a window into his heart when he was praying in Gethsemane. Was he looking forward to this whole suffering and death thing? Was he excited about this? And the people were still not getting it. I mean, the triumphal entry, that was like a cool thing, right? But how long did that last? I mean, it was just a few verses later, he was cleansing the temple, whipping people and knocking stuff out, knocking over the tables and stuff. And the people still got everything wrong. He had a whole bunch of teaching he had to do on his last week on earth. I mean, because the people were still not getting it. And he kept predicting his death, and the people weren't getting it. And he had a lot going on, which makes today's text really weird, okay? And let me tell you why I think it's really, really weird. I think it's really, really weird because we know the name Bartimaeus. You know what Bartimaeus's contribution to history was? He was born blind. And he was sitting on the side of the road outside Jericho. That's all we know about him. That's it. And Jesus, who is God, who has so much on his mind, when he hears this guy calling out to him, I mean, and understand, I mean, Jesus is walking in a crowd. There's a whole bunch of people, even the people who weren't following Jesus. The road was busy because this was coming up on the Passover, and everybody was walking toward Jerusalem. And there was all these people who lived to the east of Jericho, walking west through Jericho, because that's like the pass in the mountains. And you pass through that, and then you head down just a little bit to the southwest, and you run into Jerusalem, which is the city where everybody wants to be for the Passover. So it's a busy road, lots of people, people following Jesus, people just happen to be heading in the same direction on the way to the Passover. And all the tumult and noise and stuff going on all around him. And Jesus hears somebody call his name, because he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was here. And he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus does the weirdest thing. He stops. I don't know. I mean, guys, that's really extreme if you think about it. I mean, isn't it hard for you in your life to stop? My wife will tell you, I never stop. I go and go and go and go. I stop when I sleep. That's pretty much the only time I stop. And the thing is that we have busy lives. We have a lot going on. We've got people to see and things to do and busyness from end to end. And then if it's not our busyness, it's our children's busyness or our grandkids' busyness, or it's somebody is making things busy for us. And so we run from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And if we hear somebody crying out for help, do we have time to stop? But Jesus, God of all, about to die on the cross for the sin of the world, holding everything together, that Jesus stopped. And isn't it an amazing thing that we know the man's name? You know how rare that is? I mean, if you think about all the people that Jesus healed, you know, it's like the man that was sitting by the pool. It was the widow of Nain's son. We don't even know what her name was. We just know what town she was from. We know all of these people that Jesus helped, but we don't know their names. But this one, we know his name. And why? Because Jesus, in all his busyness, with all the things he had to do for all of mankind, all of the enormous God-sized tasks that he had before him, stopped to listen to one blind beggar, to give that one his undivided attention, to heal that one, to address that one's needs. And I think that that's a part of God that we miss an awful lot. And it's really, really sad, because this is, when we talk about having a personal relationship with God, we're not just saying that you personally know him. We're talking that he personally knows you. See, God isn't a respecter of groups. He's a person who, he's a God who loves people, individuals. He knows you and your situation. He knows you and your sin. He knows you and your weakness. He knows you, the one he created, and he knows the things he put in you when he created you. He knows the purpose that he has for you. He knows that he is guiding you. He knows the faith that he has given you. He knows the salvation that he has, and he knows that one day you're going to be with him in heaven. He knows all this about you, and he is anticipating that time when he will be with you forever and you will know him as he knows you. We have a God who loves you. Take a minute and relish that. That the God of all things, the God who made everything, holds everything together, he's not spread too thin. And then think about what that means. If God loves me that profoundly and that uniquely and that individually, that personally. Now look next to you. See that strange person? God loves them too. He loves them. And here's my question. If God loves them, how dare we not? Right? I mean, who are we to disagree with God? If God says that that person is valuable beyond measure, that he died for that person, that he lives for that person, that he looks forward today, that that person is going to spend eternity with him, if God is that excited about that person, who are you not to be excited about that person? Right? Now I want you to think about all those people who should be here today. COVID's kind of made us scatter a bit, right? And we got some work to do pulling everybody back together again. And the question is, are they worth it? Well, let's go back to the source, right? I mean, what does God think of these people? Does he love them? Did he die for them? Does he live for them today? Is he in heaven preparing a place for them? Is he anticipating the day that those people are going to spend eternity with him? And if that's the case, do we have time for them? Are we going to take a break from our crazy busy times? You know, the all the busyness and the, you know, the things that we have to do. Are we going to slow down and notice the people even if they're not crying out, you know, because they're not demanding our attention, but are we going to notice them? Are we going to value them? Are we going to love them with that love that we ourselves have received from God? Not because we're trying to be good enough for God, but because God has already saved us, loves us. Because we recognize that God loves us, that we know the salvation we have received, and we know the salvation that he wants every single person to have. And so here's the question. You know, it's just amazing. 2,000 years later, we know the name of a blind beggar because God loved him. And 2,000 years from now, nobody might know your name. It's amazing. We went to Janine and I just came back from Boston, and one of the things we love to do on vacations, we're a little strange, we're history geeks. We go to graveyards. Sounds ghoulish, but it's not. It's all history stuff. I mean, we saw John Adams' grave, and we saw, what's his name? Paul Revere's grave, and we saw, there's all these really amazing things. We saw Benjamin Franklin's parents' grave. I mean, okay, I get goosebumps at this. I'm a geek. What can I say? But the thing is that nobody may know us 2,000 years from now. That was like, what, 200-300 years ago? That's nothing. Drop in the bucket. But God knows your name. That's eternal. God knows their names. That's eternal. And so, folks, let's take some time. Let's take some time to receive from God that incredible peace and joy of knowing that we belong to him, that the God of all creation loves us, knows us, adores us, died for us, and is waiting for us at heaven, walks with us every day. And then let's emulate him. Let's do what he did and slow down, stop, and notice the people out there who need him and do everything we can to draw them closer to him. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an amazing God, a God beyond all imagining, a God beyond all expectation. You do, and it's so much beyond what we would expect, but you do it, and you never even slow down. Lord, I pray that you would continue to give us strength, continue to be our God, be able to continue to guide us, Lord, and help us to know you better, to be able to receive your love and to understand a little more what that means, but then also, Lord, to be able to turn that love outside of ourselves, to overflow with your love and grace into the worlds around us, to touch the people you've surrounded us with. Lord, all this we bring to you this day. In your holy name, amen. My friends, let us continue by singing a song, and I love this song. It's technically called Unentitled Hymn, which I think is rather inconvenient that it doesn't have a title, but we call it Come to Jesus. So let's stand as we sing.
Jesus. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain,
then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus.
Music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside,
that's for Jesus.
So that is what Jesus has done for us. He has earned our salvation for us, and we say, well, how can we believe this? And that's the confession we are doing today, which is the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. Let's confess together. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this day. We thank you. We thank you that you have made it possible for us to come, that you have made us welcome in your sight, welcome in your presence, because you have made us, that you've covered us, Lord, with the perfect robe of Christ, his righteousness, that makes us acceptable. And Lord, we are your children now. You have made us them. And Lord, we, as your children, you have given us work to do in this world. It's work that is bigger than us, work that is God-sized work, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to lead us, to guide us, to give our weak and pathetic efforts, Lord, your strength and efficacy, Lord, that people can be reached and touched, and that people that you love, Lord, can be encouraged in their faith or brought to faith in you so that more people will be in heaven with you. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to guide your church. Give us strength and passion. Keep us focused, Lord, on the work that you've laid before us so that you may be glorified. Lord, we pray that you would continue to work in our church, but also in our school and also in our community, that you would continue to help us, Lord, as we reach out into the community, Lord, helping the people with their needs, with their needs of their physical needs, Lord, but of course, especially, Lord, the needs that they have of you and of your forgiveness and love. Help us, Lord, to speak boldly as we serve them, Lord, in many ways. And Lord, I pray that you would be with our dear friends, Lord, in the world, those on the Navajo Reservation, those who we've developed relationships with through our youth ministries, mission trips for so many years. I pray that they, even though we haven't been able to be there, Lord, for years now, that you would continue to be there with them, encouraging them and helping them as they grow in relationship to you. And Lord, we pray also for those in Guatemala, our dear friends there. I pray that you would continue to Lord, you are already there. It was amazing. When we showed up, we thought we were bringing you to people, and we realized that you were there already, and that you are not limited by us and by our ability, but that you are in the world and doing your will. Lord, I pray that you would continue to do your will amongst the people of Guatemala, the Zacapa and La Fragua, that you would help them as they struggle, Lord, to be your voice in a difficult place. Lord, all these things we bring to you, and we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
The fact that we have God's word today is such a miracle, such an amazing thing that God has preserved his word through the ages so that you and I have been able to hear. And so as we have heard his words and as we now have received his body and blood, know that his promises in his word are certain. Know that his body and blood is powerful. Know that you have been blessed with forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And depart in his peace. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Folks, we have one more shot at giving God glory, and that's not really, just here this morning and during this service, okay? You better be praising God all week long. He deserves it. But let's stand up and sing praise to our God one more time together. Have a seat, my friends. Let us see here. First of all, a few announcements this morning. In the announcements in the back of the bulletin, I have no idea where. I should be more ready for that. Oh, second page, second from the top. There's a whole bunch of firewood in my yard. Some wonderful members of our church knew that I had trees that were far too close. This big around, 8 feet from my house, 130 feet tall. And it was a pin oak dropping sticks on my house. And so they were really kind and had those trees knocked down. And what we'd said is we said we would take all that wood, and that's a lot of wood, would be sold for missions. And so if anybody here needs firewood, talk to Bob Doshley over here, and he was happy to set you up. And yeah, it'd be great. All right, what else? Let's see, fruit of this. Bible studies this morning. Bible study and Sunday school this morning are going to be starting in the gym. Those of you who have kids and everything, so just follow the flow of people. Hopefully we're all going to be heading that way, right? Everybody, right? Yeah, I'm dreaming. That's okay. Anyway, so when we get down there, though, we're going to start with a Bible verse and a prayer together in the gym, and then we're going to head off to the adult classes. Adult classes, like a Fruit of the Spirit class, which is going to be taught by me today. It'll be somebody else next week. And then Love and Logic is going to be in room 106. Currently, that class is full. Isn't that wonderful? That is amazing. But if you desperately want to get in there, this is a class teaching discipline for young families and stuff, helping figure out how to use godly principles and to raise our children. And so that if that class is full, but if you really want to be in it or something, talk to Lauren and she will see what we can do. And if nothing else, we'll schedule another session. All right, very good. With that. That's everything I have for you today, my dear friends. God's blessings on your week.